want to read five scriptures, but I do promise they're very short. First one is Luke 19. Luke 19. And he entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man by name called Zacchaeus, and he was a chief tax gatherer and was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and he could not for the crowd, because he was little in stature. And then in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And then in Hebrews 11 and verse 13, all these died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them from afar off, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and sojourners on the earth. For they who say such things clearly show clearly that they seek their country. And if they have called to mind from that whence they went out, they have had opportunity to have returned. But now they seek a better, that is a heavenly. And wherefore God is not ashamed of them to be called their God, but he has prepared for them a city. Acts 17 and verse 11. And these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, receiving the word with all readiness of mind, daily searching the scriptures, if these things were so. And then lastly, 2 Chronicles chapter 7. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. That's page 567 in my Bible. 2 Chronicles 7 and verse 12. Then Jehovah appeared to Solomon by night and said to him, I have heard thy prayer, and I have chosen for myself this place for a house of sacrifice. If I shut up the heavens that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, and my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from the heavens and forgive their sin and heal their land. As you've been half asleep while I've been reading the scriptures, you'll notice that every one refers to seeking. Well, I want to say something about seeking tonight. I've come to the conclusion that just about every blessing in Christianity is obtained through a desire for it. I'm not discounting, and I absolutely confirm the sovereignty of God. God moves in sovereign grace and mercy and picks us up, and those who can do absolutely nothing for themselves. That's the gospel, really, that we are hopeless and God picks us up. But there is a sense in which desire comes into it. And for conversion, even that desire comes from God himself. His goodness leads us to repentance. It says in Hebrews that he that comes to God must believe that he is. And then what does it say? It says he is the rewarder of those that seek him out. I think the author I says diligently seek him out. And tonight I would like you and I to just consider if we are diligently seeking spiritual things. I started where we all should start, with the gospel. This is not a gospel preaching, but I take every opportunity to share the bad tidings. And this is a wonderful example of someone who had a desire, and his desire was met. It says that he sought to see Jesus, who he was. That's a very good thing. I hope everyone here tonight has sought to see Jesus. Maybe the Holy Spirit is working in your very heart tonight. That's the Holy Spirit's working new birth. That you might stir up, that you might be stirred up and have a desire to meet the Saviour. You know, when is the time to meet the Lord? It's now. Seek the Lord while he may be found. And that for you, dear, if I can say brother, or sister or not, dear friend, if you're not the Lord's, seek the Lord while he may be found. That's the gospel, isn't it? This dear man, Zacchaeus here, he went to great lengths to see Jesus. And how many gospels have been preached on that basis? A huge desire to see Jesus. This man had a genuine desire. When we come to John chapter 9, there were various Greeks that had a casual interest. They said, we desire to see Jesus. But the Lord cuts them short because he detected that really they weren't interested at all. God knows our hearts, dear brethren. He can look right in. Nothing is hidden from him. But wherever there's a genuine desire to seek and to search, God will answer it. And as we find here in Luke 19, that although Zacchaeus was seeking the Lord, and it says at the end that the Son of Man came to seek and save that which was lost. And so you find that any desire implanted in your heart is of God himself. If I come to the Saviour, dear brethren, it's because God has been there before me. He's put that desire in my heart. And so salvation came not only to Zacchaeus, but it came to his house. Isn't that a wonderful thing? You know, God delights to bless families, doesn't it? It's a wonderful thing when a Christian household is united in faith. Salvation came to his house. And it came because Zacchaeus was seeking. And he found the Saviour. And the Saviour found him. May that be the case of everyone in this room tonight. No matter how old or how young you are, you need to meet Jesus. And to receive salvation. Salvation came to him. And the Lord of glory came into his very house. What a wonderful privilege that was. Jesus, the very Son of God, creator of the universe, came to his house. I hope each of us have received the Lord Jesus as Saviour and Lord. But I'll move on because, you know, when we're saved, when we're brought into God's blessing, that is not the end of the story. That's just the beginning. If you've been saved from your sins, if you know something of the cleansing power of the blood of Jesus, if you have his Spirit working within you, you belong to the Lord Jesus, you belong to his church. You're part of the house of God that we were speaking of this afternoon. But when you're born into that family, that's just the start, isn't it? But what are you going to do with your life now? Now that I've been saved, I have peace with God. Can I do as I like? Can I just say, well, that's something else I've done. That's another box ticked. Is that how you view your salvation? It's just a start, dear brethren, a life's journey of faith. So the next thing we find in Matthew is about a kingdom. You know, if there's a kingdom, there's a king. When Paul was preaching, the hearsay was that there is another king, Jesus. Wonderful, isn't it? We know another king, Jesus. Not just a king, just not just another king, but the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he has a kingdom. And so when you're saved, not only are you saved from your sins and given eternal life, but you're brought into a kingdom. And the Lord Jesus is the king of that kingdom. And that means that I'm to be a good subject of that kingdom. That means that I don't do as I want, because I want to please the one who gave himself for me. I want to please the King. And this, we've been reading Matthew in Worthing recently. There's a lot of very practical advice, wonderful teaching from the Lord Jesus in these chapters. And there's a concern about where things will come from in our daily lives. And the Lord says, don't worry. Get your priorities. This is all about getting your priorities right. And the Christian, the believer, needs to get his priorities right. So it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Where do I find it? Well, it sort of links us back in a kind of way to what we were saying this afternoon. Because where is the kingdom of God found? It's not Jehovah's Witnesses, is it? Kingdom of God is found in God's people. We're subjects of the King, and we accept his authority, don't we? We're subject to the powers that be that God has instituted, and we're thankful that we live in a reasonable country, aren't we, where laws are generally speaking righteous. I say generally speaking, becoming more of a test now for the believer. Laws are being passed which are totally against God's idea of plan. But it says here to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You know, God in his mercy and grace, I think, will find a way through for the believer. You know, there are many believers that face difficult decisions in their lives because of what is coming in. But I believe this promise still stands. If you seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, because God is righteous, everything he does is righteous, and he will ensure that if you adhere to that, he'll make a way through for you. You know, God doesn't let his people down. Paul says, you know, our way not entirely shut up. He will carve a way for you through this world and all its difficulties and objections and problems. God, if the faithful pilgrim, the faithful Christian, will be led step by step through the morass, if he's faithful. So the challenge is to seek that kingdom first. And his righteousness, and it says, all these things shall be added unto you. It's a wonderful God that we have to deal with. You know, he's no man's debtor. God is faithful. And if we're faithful to him, he will give over and above all that we ever need. I can tell you, dear brethren, that we need to worry about what we put on, what we eat. The Lord's saying that if you put me first, if you put God first and his kingdom, God will be faithful to you and see you through. Do we have a faith like that? I'm challenged as I speak. We live in a very material world, don't we? A very material world. But the challenge is still for the believer who's received such grace and mercy from the Lord. If we know him as Saviour, we need to know him as Lord. You know, many Christians say, Lord, Lord. Do they mean it? There are those that Jesus has to say, that they say, Lord, Lord, and he'll have to say, I never knew you. But if you say, Lord Jesus, you're accepting his authority. No one can say, it said in the scripture, no one can say, Lord Jesus, except by the Spirit. If you've trusted in Christ as Saviour, he's given you his Spirit. God has given you his Spirit. And if you're subject to his Spirit within you, then you'll not only trust Jesus as Saviour, but you'll own him and you'll obey him as Lord. And we look forward to a day when this kingdom will come. You know, the prayer was, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Not being done at the moment, but there are those on earth that seek to do the will of God. And they are those that have come into this kingdom. Every believer in Jesus who has the Spirit is part of this kingdom. Tonight the challenge is, are you seeking him? Are you putting him first? and his righteousness. You know, you long, you see so much unrighteousness in the world, so much injustice. And I think as you get a little older in your Christian pathway, you long for the day when things will be reversed. When the greatest injustice of them all, that we've spread about this afternoon, that cornerstone that was rejected, he has become the head of the corner. To us, he will become King of Kings and King and Lord of Lords to the world. Every knee will bow, it says that. Every knee will bow to him. It's the light of that in your heart now. I think for those that want to anticipate when Jesus has his rights on this earth, I think they are actually seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness. They're having that before them. Just a challenge. Have we taken the next step? We found the Saviour through his grace. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. What am I going to do now practically? Am I seeking the kingdom of God? Where God is sovereign, where the Lord is reigning, where his rights, he's bought me. I belong to another. I'm not my own. I have been bought with a price. If we really understood the cost of our redemption, I think we would give more allegiance to the one made possible. Just swiftly move on to another passage that mentions this. It talks about those that died in faith in Hebrews, the great faith chapter. And it says that those here that left Abraham and the others with him, they confessed that they were strangers and sojourners on the earth. And they that say such things clearly show they seek their country. Where is your heart, dear brother, dear sister? Is it where are your roots? Where do you belong? Are you a citizen of earth? Or are you a citizen of heaven? It says they clearly they seek their country. It was obvious that they were on a journey. I wonder when men and women look at us, that it's obvious that we're on a journey. Do we show where we're bound? By our conduct, by our priorities. Says, interestingly, that they had a chance to return. They had an opportunity to have returned. Maybe for you, you've been saved. And the world has its pull, doesn't it? You might feel that you've got a foot in both countries. Maybe the opportunity for you to return is right now, where God in his grace will speak to your heart and say, you're on a journey, dear brother, dear sister. You're on a journey. Are you seeking that which is heavenly? Abraham, you know, it says here, God is not ashamed of them to be called their God. Bring out a pair from the city. It says that Abraham looked for a city that had foundations. We were reading about foundations this afternoon. Something that's rock solid. That's built on Christ. And it's prepared. I wonder where our affections lie. Where do our hopes lie? What do you think about? Said in the scriptures, is the world to come of which we speak. Do we speak of it? How much of our time is taken up with earthly things? I'm speaking firstly to myself. These dear saints of old, they showed, they had the opportunity to return. Think of Lot, righteous man, And yet he sailed close to the world, didn't he? And even when he was delivered from Sodom, he says, just give me another little city, just nearby, don't go too far. Is that like you? Don't go too far. Whereas the men of faith, they saw from afar this country, and they were bound there. God was going to get them there. But their attitude changed. And I wonder if we're seeking this heavenly country. It's a wonderful country. Christ is Lord. God is sovereign there. And there are blessings. The windows of heaven is open. That far country, you know, is open. It's not a distant land for the believer. It's very close. It's very near. God has come so close. And we through Christ can come to him. And it's not an unknown country. You know, sometimes you travel and you go to a place that you've never been to before. And you don't know the customs. You don't know the way they carry on. Well, for a Christian, heaven's not like that. We know the one who lives there. We know the king who lives there. Mr. Darby's tombstone, unknown yet well known. We're known in heaven. We're known in this kingdom. We're known in this country. Are you looking to it? Are you seeking it? Or are you seeking the things that relate to me? We live in a very selfish world. But you know, if we've been touched by the grace of God and the saving power of Christ, we'd be attracted to where he is. That's where the Christian's life is, isn't it? It says in Colossians that our life is hid with Christ. What does it say? Seek the things which are... It's another... See, that's just come from the minds. Seek the things which are above, where the Christ is. Colossians. If therefore you've been raised with the Christ, seek the things which are above. Jesus is not here, his spirit is here, but Christ is in glory, dear brethren. And because he is there, then my thoughts and my affections should be there too. Seek the things which are above. Abraham, by faith, he sought a country. He realized that he was a pilgrim and a sojourner on this earth. I think the material world in which we live militates against that. But I think, you know, we need to understand the pilgrim character. I read Pilgrim's Progress recently. He was going from the city of destruction, that's salvation. But he was bound for the promised land, wasn't he? And he had that ever before him. Do you have this wonderful sphere in front of you where Christ is? One day he's going to come out in glory. The end of that passage says that it's not all going to be kept secret in that way. It's going to be manifest. Christ is going to come again with his own. It will be beheld amongst his holy myriads. The world will see them, they will admire Christ and his church. But until that day actually comes, you and I are to have our desires up in heaven, heavenward, where Christ is. Not where he was, where he's going to be, where he is. Our blessed Saviour is in glory. Living, blessed, glorious man. And we need to be seeking that now. I just read the last two scriptures because the first three were sort of individual to you and I, as individual Christians. But it just struck me that there is the sense in which we need to search and seek things out together, as believers together. This well-known little phrase in Acts 17 about those in Berea. It says they received the word with readiness of mind. Well, that's very interesting. What a spirit they had. They were teachable. You know, we live in the spirit of the age is where people are not teachable. They think they know it. And that's the Laodicean spirit, actually. Mm. I have grown rich and I've need of nothing. I know it all. Paul said, I know nothing as I ought to know. God gave us a spirit of humility and to be teachable. Since that they receiving the word with all readiness of mind, daily searching the scriptures. What an attitude for us as believers. Daily. That would keep me on the straight and narrow, wouldn't it? That would keep me on a pilgrim character. Daily. Searching the scriptures. This wonderful volume of God's word. Nothing like it, dear brethren. May we treasure it more and more. May they search them. They have a spirit of inquiry. God give us more of that, you know. I think back through the ages where Christians throughout different parts of church history, they had a desire to seek things out. Luther in the 16th century, and you had people like Bunyan and Whitfield in the 17th and the 18th. And then the 19th, Mr. Darby and others, they sought things out. Where are we today in the 21st century? Do we have that same desire to seek things out? Or are we just go coasting along because we know everything? They daily search the scriptures. God give us an inquiring mind. And it's often been said, isn't it, to see if these things were so. There's nothing more damaging than a critical spirit. You approach the word with reverence, and you know, if you search the scriptures diligently with an inquiring, open mind of the teachable spirit, God will bless you. And you'll realize that these wonderful things that Paul opened up, these are new. And we're used to hearing the wonderful truths of the scriptures, aren't we? The truths of the gospel, the truths of this, the church and the assembly. These wonderful truths we're used to. But this was new to them. And they would have that willingness of mind to search it out. May we have the same spirit in women. To search things out. Not to criticise, not to knock it down, not to dissect it, but rather to give credence to what God has brought out through his people, through his servants, through the apostles. The apostles' doctrine, what was the apostles' doctrine? The breaking of bread and prayers. These wonderful things which we know and practice. And as we daily search the scriptures, we will be confirmed in our walk. You know, what we need is Christians who know what they're doing and where they're going and why they're doing it. To have the courage of our convictions, because we've searched the scriptures and we know that these things are so. Because it's God's word and we've proved it. Just finally end with 2 Chronicles. We spoke briefly about the how Solomon's time this afternoon. In this end of the dedication, Solomon prayed. And then Jehovah answered him in verse 12. He said, I've heard thy prayer, and I've chosen for myself this place for a house of sacrifice. That brings us back to it, what we say this afternoon about the house of God. He set his name there. It's where God was going to be known and served. And worshipped. But the state of the people weren't right. Is any different today? Would that all of God's people were in the light and gain of what they were supposed to believe? Would that every believer really enjoy what they should be enjoying? But you know, there is a way back. God graciously says, and if my people, who are called by my name, that's what we're hearing about this afternoon, God identifies himself with his people. called by my name. He says, if they humble themselves. We had two words on Thursday in the ministry meeting about humility. We need this word. We live in an age which militates against it. Laodicean, proud, boastful. Believe in the Lord Jesus. And it's to humble, it's to be humble, to take that form. He says, if my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray, that's very important. And seek my face. In times past, you know, throughout church history, there were those who sought God's face, sought the Lord together. You think at the end of Malachi, we often refer to it, don't we? Very broken day. They were so ignorant. If you read the last chapter of Malachi, or the chapter before that, their question is saying, is it so? Has God left us? They didn't know their own state. And you know, that's just like the church publicly today. It doesn't know its own state. The Lord is still knocking on the outside. If anyone hear my voice, I'll open the door and come in. The call is still going out, even to that Laodicean church which professed everything and had nothing. The opportunity was still there. And God is saying here, Jehovah is saying here, if my people, that's the point, it's my people, it's God's people, and we, dear brethren, are part of God's church, and we're his people. But we need to seek his face. Maybe we've lost our way. Church publicly has lost its way. But there were those in Malachi. It says they met together. They spoke often one to another. I think what they did at the end of Malachi was typically what this says here. They humbled themselves. They prayed. They sought the face of the Lord. There were those in the 19th century that had a concern. What did they do? They met together to pray. They sought the face of the Lord. There was exercise, searching. I don't think we'll ever see the glory days of Acts before the Lord comes. Some people think that before the Lord comes, there's going to be a fantastic revival. I don't see that from Scripture. But that doesn't excuse us from the Spirit if God's people together humble themselves and pray and seek his face, there will be blessing. God listens to the prayers of his people. And it could be in these closing days of this dispensation. Jesus is coming for his bride very soon. But there are those believers that are taking this attitude. There is revival. Revival in the gospel. Would there be more revival in the truth of the church and assembly? But the opportunity, that's the point I want to make this evening, the opportunity is there. God is willing to come in and bless him if we only give him this chance. As I said at the beginning, you know, God honours our faith. And if we stretch out in faith, he'll honour it. God listens to the prayers of his people. May we together say that our gatherings are small, the world seems to be getting worse, it's becoming more difficult to become a Christian. People are giving up even the basic tenets of Christianity. If we want revival, dear brethren, this is where it starts. Humble ourselves, pray, seek the face of the Lord, and he will come in blessing. Someone referred to Malachi at the end of the reading. It says, to see if I do not open the heavens and pour out a blessing. That's not being withdrawn. That's still available if we have the desire. Well, maybe we have this desire of seeking after the things of God. If you're not a believer tonight, I'd again urge you to seek the Lord and find Him when He may be found. But then if you put your trust in Him as Saviour and Lord, then let us seek His kingdom. Seek what is above. Seek the Scriptures. Seek God's blessing. For His glory and thanks.